Good evening, everyone. A warm welcome to all of you. It's nice to have you join us for today's prayer meeting. Let's commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your presence, for your goodness. We want to thank you for your faithfulness. And dear Lord, we pray that our hearts will receive the joy and the strength that comes from your word, that our hearts will be transformed and our eyes will be open to who you are. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to minister to us, to speak through your words, to open our eyes, to know you, and to love you, dear God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's sermon title is Christ has prepared a place for me. Okay, the sermon text is taken from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. So let me read the sermon text. So it says here from verse 1. Just a little bit of backdrop. Jesus was preparing the disciples for what was to come and his crucifixion and resurrection, and he's being taken to heaven. And the disciples were pretty blur as to how all this thing sorted out. So the conversation happens before, and we get to understand this conversation in the light of what Christ has done. And it's written for that very purpose, okay? So from John 14, verse 1 to 14. So do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Okay, so you find that this is an amazing text, and there's so many promises and things for us to reflect upon. And let's look at it section by section. So it starts off with Jesus telling his disciples not to be troubled, and we can understand the occasion. And you find that those words ring true to us even in times like this, because in every season, it is troubled times when you look at the way things are in this world. And Jesus, kind of asked his disciples to fix their eyes on God and to believe in him and to believe in God the Father. Okay. And so Jesus starts to assure them by his plans, of what's going to take place in the future. Christ is going, and he's going to prepare a place, and he's going to come back, and he's going to take them to be with him. So you find that in this conversation, it is loaded in the sense that there was this expectation of the Messiah to fulfill every promise of salvation and restoration. And you find that what Jesus was always telling his disciples, that it was not going to happen the way they thought that it will happen. You know, it's not going to be like Jesus proclaiming himself king in Jerusalem and therefore leading the entire nation into war and victory over the Roman powers and so forth. But this was a very different kingdom. It's not of this world. It's the kingdom of God. that invades our space, and Jesus is being the king. And therefore, Jesus is referring to the fulfillment in all things in very simple terms, in terms that is pretty amazing. He speaks about the Father's house. Okay, so it takes all this political dreams and visions of power, and he brings it back into the simple place of being in the Father's house. And how in the Father's house, in fact, you know, it says there are many mansions, you know, that there's this huge places for us to be there. And Jesus narrows the promise down to this very simple thing. He says, okay, I'm going, and then I'll come back and I'll get you so that where I am, you will be. Okay. And this is amazing promise of assurance. So one is that picture of being in the Father's house. And then the second is the assurance that we are with Christ. You know, he brings us to him, and that whole dwelling place, you know, in the Father's house with him. And eventually you see the next text talks about the Holy Spirit, but we'll focus on this text. So we've been singing the song, Who You Say I Am, and there's the phrase in my Father's house is a place for me. Okay, I'm a child of God. That's who I am in Christ. And you find that it's a very powerful proclamation. It's a very, a proclamation that assures us of hope, of life in the future. And how this promise is kind of narrowed down with the statement, you also will be where I am, speaks volumes about the kind of person God is, and the whole aspect of Jesus coming down to earth and being with us, and always giving that promise of his presence with his people, and always bringing it back to that idea that we will be in his presence throughout eternity. So that's the thing about this whole promise. And I would encourage you to dwell on this promise, because it does bring hope, it does bring comfort, it does remind us in a very powerful way who God is and what he desires in his heart, and how he looks at things in terms of our relationship with him. So we must be mindful, and as we meditate on this, we must think of these questions. You know, how does this promise speak to each one of us? You know, what does it tell us about the future? And what it tells us about the place where we belong? And in that contrast, we should ask ourselves actually what we are preparing for. And, you know, we are worried about many things, and we're asking ourselves whether we are prepared for a lot of things and so forth. You know, but when you put it in this scheme and in this story, it changes everything. Are we prepared for this great event, this place that God has prepared for us, that Christ is going to usher us into and show us the way? Okay, so this is God's goodness displayed to us. Then, of course, since, you know, the disciples have not witnessed the resurrection of Christ, and they're pretty lost about the conversation. And so Thomas just asked these questions, the obvious questions. And what's strange is Jesus was very confident. He just looked at his disciples and he says, you know the place where I'm going. And then Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? So the fact is that Jesus would look at his disciples, look at the people who are following him, and say the statement, you know the way to this place. Okay, so you can see how, you know, that idea connects with what comes next with Jesus proclaiming himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. But that's the thing. When you follow Jesus, you know the way. In fact, you're on the way. If you know him, you know the way. Okay, and if you are with him, you know that he will, you know, he would come back and take you in that sense. Okay. And so this is interesting. All right. As much as he will do that for us, there's a subject about the way. You know, if he's going to do everything, we do need to know the way. But again, you can see what this is all heading towards. that the whole call to discipleship following Christ is about embracing the way. Okay, and we find that there is a way that leads us home, and that way is to follow Jesus Christ. So Jesus would answer, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." So you can see Jesus just driving this point in a deeper way, in a clearer way, and just going about talking, talking very strongly, very, very assuredly about the relationship they have with him and the Father. So in the first verse, there was a promise of the Father's house, being in the Father's house, being with Christ. And then he talks about Christ being the way to the Father. And then saying, if you know me, you'll know the Father as well. Okay. So the way is about knowing, it's about being, with the Father. It's about having this relationship with him. And again, Jesus says very clearly, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Okay. So that's the thing about revelation, that what we must be mindful of. We, the believers, the people of faith in Jesus, who put their faith in Jesus Christ, know the Father. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. And if you embrace the Son, you have embraced life, okay? And you find that Jesus was so assured of this knowledge, because what he was going to do through his work at the cross, when he died, he removes our sins. And he, as the scripture tells us, the curtain that covers the most holy place, okay, that separates the holy place from people, is torn apart, it's ripped. And we have access to the Father because we are forgiven and our sins have been washed away. And we have heard this in the sermon on justification. Okay, we are no longer guilty. We are proclaimed innocent before God. And therefore, we have access to the Father. So you find that through Christ, we get to know the Father more and more. We get to understand his love. We get to come back into his arms. We get to come before him with hope and with life. So that's the thing, when Jesus is speaking about the coming things, about the hope, about the life, he kind of plants it on that relationship that we have with him. And he plants it on the idea of being in their presence, being part of who they are and what they are doing. Okay, so that's what, again, the whole message of assurance is about. That we know Christ, we know the Father, we are in their presence. He is revealed to us. We belong to him. We have a place prepared, by him. And that is the hope that actually kind of shaped the Christian community. Even the most suffering and persecuted community, this was the hope they held on to. This is the hope they experienced in their hearts, and it overflowed in the way they went about doing things. So you can see that, when the disciples, with so much confusion and questions, yet post-resurrection, when they saw Jesus alive, all these questions were answered. And suddenly a sense of courage and hope and life filled them, okay? And as the Holy Spirit came, that moved them into a greater place of faith, in which they pursued God and bore witness to who God is, and God's presence was with them, okay? So that's the thing. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and he has made a way for us. Okay. So the conversation moves on. Okay. And Jesus says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Then again, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. Okay, so this is an interesting conversation. And as much as we you know, can say what is going on here. But we cannot deny the fact that, you know, at many points of our life, and myself, you know, we wondered if we could actually see God. Okay. And perhaps maybe if we had such a vision or we had such an experience, that would kind of catapult, you know, our spiritual life steps ahead and move us into being better Christians than we are. Okay. So there is that desire and that thought that comes. And I think we can identify with Philip when he asks such a question to Jesus Christ. Okay, but what's interesting is Jesus is saying, you know, that the revelation of his life, of his works, of who he is, of what he has done is sufficient, you know, and it shows us who the Father is. When we come to the Son, we do get to know the Father and the works and the life of the Son. And therefore, you can connect this with the statement that Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. Okay, and he reveals the truth about all things. And he is the life that proceeds, that sustains us, and all the glory of Godhood, you know, he being God himself, is revealed to us. But the thing that doesn't sit with us very well is that revelation is framed as a human being. Okay, as someone that is like you and I, trapped in our limitations, in our weaknesses, in the challenges that we face. And what God has done, he has moved all this one step ahead. He has shown us what happens when God embraces humanity. He has shown God in such a way that we should be able to understand and fully celebrate and comprehend how, you know, because the question that's answered is, what is God when he's one of us, when he becomes like us, what would he be like? And that answer is given in Jesus Christ, when God embraces all we are and how he chooses to embrace suffering and kindness and servanthood and mercy and just live such a life. And that's God. Okay. And I think that's the thing that always hits us, you know, that this is God revealed to us. And you find that the amazing authority of the Father, the works of the Father is seen through this. And even the miracles are the evidence of Jesus' works. The miracles also points to the fact that Jesus is God himself. Now, why we have to pay attention to the last point, evidence of the works, because if you recall, when we went through the Gospel of John, the way John lines up the miracles is every miracle is a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy concerning the salvation of God's people. So, for example, when Jesus changed the water into wine, and that's the story of the new wine, of the arrival of the bridegroom, when Jesus turns, when Jesus multiplies the bread, and Jesus. Then John puts in the I am statement that Christ is the bread of life. Okay, and so you find that, and when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, you know, then Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. So you can see that the way the miracles are put, the greatness of the miracles is not in the sense of that Jesus would do these things, but what the signs specifically point to when it comes to Christ being the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of God. Okay. So Jesus is lining up all these things and drawing his disciples to say, hey, you know, what you are looking at, as it seems so ordinary to you, as it seems so simple to you that I can sit by the fire and I can sit down and have this conversation with you and I can eat with you and I can talk with you and I can just listen to you, what you say and go back and forth. And all this is the Father being revealed to us. Okay. All right, and as much as in the spectacular, it's in the ordinary, and this is where the disciples had to grapple with this, and they came to understand how significant this was later, and so they embraced the same way of life that Jesus did. Okay, So Jesus goes on to give this promise, and this is another a powerful promise. So he says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Excuse me. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, and you may ask anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, we have heard this phrase, greater works. And of course, I mean, many people have said different things about it. And perhaps, you know, one has one idea that has been preached again and again is like, you know, if Jesus did something spectacular, then we will do something far more spectacular than what Jesus did. Okay. But you find that there is a challenge to interpret it in such a way, simply because the word has more two ideas. It has the idea of more works and greater works. Okay, and it's a very interesting word that was chosen to capture this. But the context of the passage helps us understand this word better. Okay, so what is important here is Christ is going to the Father, and what we understand is. In fact, what Jesus will do at the Great Commission is that he will get his disciples to represent him. And then at the coming of the Holy Spirit, that he will get the church to represent him. And the church will become his hands, his feet, his body. Okay. So the role of the disciples will be greater in the sense of more. And they will do all these works, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's not only all these people doing this, all these works, but it is a sustained work that has been going on for more than 2,000 years and still going strong because of Christ's presence, you know, and the power of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ. So this is what Christ is saying. Okay. You know, you will know, okay. You will know these works, all right? And the other thing that is interesting, as Jesus says, you know, as he was telling his disciples, everything I do comes from the Father, okay? And the authority I receive comes from the Father. And you find that that same authority is given to us in the name of Jesus Christ. So the same way the Father has been operating in the Son, the Father operates, you know, in the body of his Son, the church, okay? And therefore, we begin to understand the will of God and understand the authority of God within the church to do and proclaim the work of Christ. Okay, so that gives us further insight, all right? So yes, you know, great miracles will be done. Yes, the body of Christ will do great things in sense of servanthood and also in the sense of loving people and humility and kindness and embracing challenges and all that. But the core of this whole thing is that, you know, something shifts within us, you know, because of the way Christ has made for us to know the Father. The authority of the Father is given to us through the Son. And the understanding of works and what God is doing in our time and our seasons is there simply because we know the Father. Okay, you know, the way Jesus knew the Father, we will know the Father, and he will help us in our seasons, in our time, in this age, as to know his will. Okay, all right. So that's how this whole thing fits together. And it's a pretty amazing thing to think about, all right? You know, and you find that all this stems on the fact that we have this relationship with God. We have the presence of God with us, you know, where you are, there I will be. And that's the promise. And we have a home, you know, in our Father's house, in God's house. So this is all knitted together in his house, doing his work, you know, by his power, by his knowledge. Okay, so this is central. Okay. And what grants us access, and you find this word saying again, 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 you know, and he starts off with an invitation to believe, to have faith, okay? And then he further says, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? And then he says, at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. So there's a call for faith to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, to believe in Him. And it's this faith, you know, that belief that brings peace within our heart. It is this faith that opens our eyes to see God the Father. It is this faith that enables us to do the work of Jesus Christ. Now, it's very important that we be mindful of what our faith is all about. And that's a very clear reminder from the book of James, you know, he was talking about faith that leads to works and faith that leads to nothing, all right? And he makes this very sharp, strong statement. He said, even the devil believes that you know, that who God is, and they shudder, you know, the fact that they know who God is, all right? But their whole actions is very in contrast to that kind of believing. So there's different kinds of believing in that sense. You can believe in a lot of things, you know, but don't respond to it in the faith that it requires. Or you can believe and follow Jesus and embrace His way and embrace His path and see that in that place, God pours out His Spirit and His grace and His revelation over your lives. Okay, so that is the thing, you know, we must understand and we must stand firm in our faith in Christ. And here, as for an example here, there's a lot of things that we can believe as we read scriptures, as we pray, and we believe that God is preparing a place, that God, we know God the Father, that we know we have Jesus Christ with us, that God has promised us the Holy Spirit. There's just tons of things to believe and to act on, okay? So that is what is called of us, to have that faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is kind of amazing. He ends it with this wonderful promise that I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it, okay? And it's a fact that our prayer life says a lot about our faith in God, okay? So it's kind of clear. The only sensible conclusion of knowing all these truths and responding to all these truths in faith is to come to God and pray, okay? So we can ask God, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can seek the will of God. We can wait and ask God to show us and work His will through our lives and through our church and through our nations. Okay, we can ask God, you know, to continue to make us mindful of His presence. The very fact of praying itself, you know, is a place where we pause and we focus on the presence of God, that we are God's children and are with Him. Okay, all right. So that is the whole thing about faith. Okay, so when we start listening to all the troubles and the challenges that we are facing, and we start limiting God's activity, and we look at Jesus and we say, hey, it's hard for me to see God in all of this, that's going to cause a lot of problems in our journey of faith. Okay. You find that where God meets us is where He chooses and what He does in our life. And therefore, you find that, you know, even in my own life and own experience, a lot of the activity of prayer perhaps sometimes stems around, you know, getting something and getting things done and being something, all right? It's not based on glorifying God in that sense or enjoying God's peace and goodness in our life. So what happens, you know, for example, if you pray for a good job and once that you start doing things well and you start excelling, then you become more mindful of your learning, of your talent, of your giftedness and what you can do. And if you face challenges, then you're more mindful of the challenges and difficulties. And all this distracts you from the fact that actually God is with you and it's God who has made you this way and it's God who enables these things. And more than that, you know, it's not about you, but it is God who can touch the hearts of the people around you and make your work you know, meaningful in His sight and impactful to draw people to glorify God. Okay, that's the point of it. And people who pray see things that way. Okay, they are invited by the Holy Spirit to see the reality that God is here, you know, and God achieves so much through the name, through the life of Jesus Christ, and He is doing that greater work in our lives. And so it's a call, you know, to just go into the presence of God and say, God, you know, ushers, you know, into your works, into your goodness, you know, speak to us, reveal, guide us, strengthen us, and to remain in the Father's love, you know, to be known and to be loved, and the list goes on. Okay. And that's the thing. And that's also the fact that Jesus says this again and again. You know, the believing community who knows that God has prepared the place and everything has been set out, you know, we can ask God, we can seek God, we can ask Him the questions that are ringing in our hearts, and we can bring it before the Lord. Okay, so you'll find that, again, prayer and scripture reading comes back to the place of we being in the presence of God, and we coming through Jesus Christ, you know, into God's presence boldly, knowing that we have a place here and we can ask as God's children. Okay, so it comes back to that relationship. It comes back to that relationship. All right. So this is what I would encourage you to do, you know, even as we are going through the season of Lent, you know, is to look at that relationship and to approach that relationship through faith in Jesus Christ. To understand, you know, that as much as the disciples struggled at the fact that Jesus was so human, and even though He did great things, they just could not get away from the human aspect of it, that they would ask Him again and again, show us the Father, you know. But then when things begin to fall in place and they begin to know the Father, then they realize what they expected God to show, the God they expected to see, is far from what He actually is, who He really is. Okay. He is the God who embraced the cross. He is the God of love, of kindness, and hope. He is a God who is a loving Father to each one of us. And He works through all the challenges and the brokenness of this world. And through that work, you know, as He weaves His goodness, He is glorified and His beauty is. And the most simple and things, He makes it meaningful and purposeful. Okay. So I would invite you again to just think about this, as there's so much to glean from this truth. And church, as we are in this place, we do need to pray. We had the community work last week, and the more we look at the children, their lives, the families, the brokenness, the challenges that they face, and the fact of quite many of them are without fathers, and there's so many needs here. It's important for a people of faith to rise, believe that God is going to make a way in all of the situations, and you know. These hands, you know, all of us, look at your own hands, and all these hands who believe in Him are going to do the greater works. Okay, we are going to represent Christ. We're going to embrace them with His love, with His goodness. You know, so whether your workplace, your homes, your families, and how challenging as it may seem, as we've seen in life of Jesus, the fact remains is that this life, you know, those who believe in Christ, will do the greater works for His glory, for His honor. So let us come before Him, trusting in who He is and what He can do. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank You for such a wonderful promise. We really want to thank You for who You are. We want to thank You for how You are sustaining us and carrying us. And dear Lord, we pray that You strengthen us, that we will be filled with hope and courage, because we know, Lord, we know because we know You. we have seen you, Lord. We know because you live and rule in our hearts. We know because you have said so, Lord, and you have promised these truths, Lord. We know because you have poured out the Holy Spirit within our hearts, God. And you're inviting us, Lord, to be you, Lord, part of your life, to know the Father, to do his works, so that glory and honor may come to his name, you know, that it all be for the glory and honor due to him because he's good. And we pray, Lord, we understand these things and that we will come before you. We pray, Father, that we will pay careful attention, Lord, to the relationship that we have with you, that we will not scorn you, that we will not relegate you to something that you are not, dear Lord. We pray, Lord, that we will come before you with faith, Lord. Many of us have given up and have kind of put our prayer lives in a box or just struggle with it too much. But we pray that we will understand what faith means and we will just come believing that you will help us, that you will guide us, that you will change us, that you will lead us, that you will show us, Lord, what it means to be your instruments in such a broken and rebellious world, dear Lord. So, Lord, we pray in this season that there will be an awakening of our hearts, that we will be a stirring to respond in faith and hope in your name. We thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this time. We come before you, dear Lord. We ask you to continue to fill us, Lord, with your Spirit, to help us, Lord, to grow to know what you're doing in a time like this. We pray, Lord Father, that you continue to be with us so that we can be that light, Lord, in this nation, that we'll continue to shine for your glory, that we will begin to see how your goodness, Lord, brings healing and hope and reconciliation between races, between people, groups, between the poor and the rich. We pray, Lord Father, that we will understand that we are not of this world and that we will defy its powers, its influences of our life, that we will not subject ourselves to the greed or want of power, but rather, Lord, as you are our servant, we will serve in your name, living for your glory, for the promises that we have in you, dear Lord. So, Lord, strengthen the church. Give us faith. Let us see through the eyes of faith. Let us continue to stand firm, Lord, with hope and belief, no matter how challenging, Lord, things can get. And things do get challenging, Lord, in many seasons. And so, Lord, let us anchor ourselves through prayer, dear God, in your presence, looking to you, trusting in you, that your fullness may rule and reign in our lives. Dear Lord, just lead us, Lord, in this time. We pray also, Lord Father, that you would draw this church into your presence to pray, to seek you. Dear God, we are nothing without you. We are nothing without your word. We are powerless without your authority. It comes through your name, dear Lord. And therefore, we most of all say, Lord, we are nothing if we are not glorifying the Father. And we pray that this important jewels, Lord, this foundations of this church will always be firm, Lord, that it's about you, your name, your glory, your honor. And dear God, that as much as we live in a world that is so preoccupied about the self, that we will entrust the self into your loving hands, trusting you, Lord, to care for us and guide us because you are our Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, we pray also, Lord, that your mercy and generosity will overflow through the lives of your people, that we will be able to extend ourselves and give and love the way you do, Lord, out of the richness of your heart. May we abound with grace and more of it, Lord, each day of our lives. Dear Lord, we want to thank you that you have gathered us in your name. We pray that you continue to lead us and guide us in your goodness, Lord. Bless everyone who is here. Keep us, Lord, in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.